There are a variety of gifts, services, and activities. The same Spirit, the same God, activates all of them in every one. All of them. Now, you know, sometimes we read through these passages in the scriptures, we read through the letters of Paul, we read through the gospels, we go over words, we don't listen to what they say, we don't give thought to what they mean. So hear it again. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. Huh? Variety of gifts active in me? You're kidding. You must be kidding, Greg, right? I can't do anything. I can't speak. I can't act. I'm either too young or too old. I don't have enough time. Or I have so much time I don't know what to do with it. That doesn't sound familiar. Does that at all sound familiar to you, Freddie? Yeah, not enough time, yes. That one you get. Too much time, huh? Are you crazy? We often come up with excuses for why God simply won't work through and with us. Excuses for why we can't do something for God. Excuses for why we can't serve in the church. Excuses for why we won't speak the love of God, the grace of God, the peace of God. Excuses for why we won't reach out. Excuses. 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 I am convinced, for me at least, one of the worst words in the English language is can't. There is no can't. There is all activated in every one. And I don't know about you, but is anybody left out in everyone? No. Nobody's left out of the everyone. We're all there. So let's take a look. What does Paul mean by gifts? What does the word gift mean? It comes from the Greek word charisma. Charisma. You may have heard that word before. At its root is the Greek word charis. Charisma, charis. Charis is grace. God's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. There is nothing that you can do to get it. There is nothing that you can do to earn it. There is no way that you can possibly deserve it. It is the gift of God's unmerited, unearned love, favor, presence, power in your life. Charisma is grace. Grace in all of its meaning. It is grace active in our living. And we can see it in the gifts that Paul delineates. And when you hear this list, some people get it. They love it. It equates with them. It sinks into their soul. They hear it and they love it. Some of these gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith. I know some people who, they'll speak a few words and you'll hear wisdom ring. You'll hear the knowledge of God ring true in what they say. It's usually those who say very few words, by the way. It's usually those who save it up, hold it in reserve, think about it for a while, whose gift of wisdom becomes amazingly obvious to all when they speak. You know the old saying, remember that old commercial, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen? When people gifted by wisdom speak, people listen because people know it. Look at the next one. Knowledge. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Wisdom is often understood as knowledge, God knowledge applied. Knowledge is the piling up of information and facts. Some people are really smart people with no wisdom at all. You know what they say about people who study and they get degrees in university? They get the BA or the BS. Then they get the MS, which means more of the same of the BS. And then they get the PhD, which is piled higher and deeper. Now, when I was in graduate school, I knew a whole lot of people who had PhDs, and it truly was piled higher and deeper. Lots of knowledge, not much wisdom. But we got to have people who have the knowledge too. The church, the body of Christ, needs knowledge applied, and it needs simply knowledge, which is indeed a gift of God. A gift of God. Faith. I know some people who seem to have faith come to them so easily. It is so simple for them to believe. And then I know others who struggle with their faith, who fight with their faith, who have to work on it day and night. Some people who can come at faith as if it was a pair of their granddaddy's glasses. They're having trouble seeing. They knew granddad had trouble seeing, so they go and they get granddad's glasses and they put them on and they go on about life. They don't give any thought to it. They don't give any study or investigation of it, and it seems to work for them. Good for them. And then there are others for whom granddad's glasses have to be studied first, have to be examined. You got to go to the eye doctor. You got to take those glasses to the optometrist and have them checked out to see, are these the kind of glasses that I need to wear? Then they need to test the various kinds of lenses to see which lens is the best lens for me. And if it turns out that granddad's glasses will work for me, well, guess what? I can put them on and I'll wear them. I know some people who are like that with faith. They have to study it in depth. Most of us are somewhere between those extremes. We've been given a beautiful faith. It coheres with our heart and soul. But we need to study it a little bit too, to apply it in our lives. But faith in and of itself is a gift. We all have received it. We all have received a degree of wisdom. Sometimes we don't see it. We all have received a degree of knowledge. Sometimes we don't see it. We all have received faith. We should let others see it. Healing. I know people. I've known people and I know people today. You probably do too. Who, when they walk into a room, you feel as though healing has entered in. You feel at peace with them, at one with them, calm with them, assured with them. You know the presence of God when you're in their midst. You feel a sense of assurance in their presence. I'm not talking about just the supernatural kind of healing. I'm not talking about when Ernest Angley used to go up to people and go, "Be healed!" Remember him? That little rag of a toupee he used to have? God gave him the gift of healing. Why didn't he do it to himself and get some hair? That's what I always wanted to know. Oh, my friends. That is, you know, there is a place and a reality in supernatural healing. I have seen it myself. I knew it through my own dad, who had an amazing gift to lay on hands and pray. And you knew you were at one with God. A true sense of inner healing. The presence of God's love, God's power. Because healing in its essence is being whole again. Not just curing. And I've known people who have known healing without being cured. It's being whole again with yourself, with others, with God. And some people are given the gift of healing, the healing presence of God. My dad was one of them. He could walk into a room where an argument was taking place, and 10 minutes later the argument was solved. The argument was solved. They may still have disagreements, but the argument, the contentious atmosphere, is solved. That was the way my dad was. Working of miracles, that in and of itself is a miracle. We need to send somebody like that into Washington, D.C. We're going to have disagreements forever, but we can get over the arguing, friends. There can be healing and a working of miracles. Now, what's a miracle? Some people say that's a magic act. No, it's not. To me, a miracle is any event, any instance in which the love and presence of God is known and made known to us. That's a miracle. Anytime you know, can experience, can see, can sense the love, presence of God, you have a miracle. That's why I say that the birth of a baby is a miracle. We can understand how that baby is conceived. We can understand how that baby gestates in the mother's womb. We can understand all the biological facets that are involved in the development, neonatal. But my friends, it's still a miracle when you see that baby born and you hold that baby in your arms. It's still a miracle. The presence of God is known. That's the essence of a miracle to me, when the presence of God is known. And there are people who make God's presence known in many ways. You can think of some of them in your own lives. I know I can in mine. Prophecy. Oh, now that doesn't mean Johnny Carson in the Swami hat with a letter saying, you know, three men in a bucket. No. It's not saying, okay, 6 weeks from Tuesday, the world's coming to an end. Or we have until December the 23rd, 2012, or whatever it is. That's not prophecy. Prophecy is proclaiming the Word of God. It is proclaiming the wisdom of God. It is speaking forth the Word of God for others and applying it in their lives. It's what I'm doing right now. The gift of prophecy is the gift of speaking for God to others. I know people who speak in words and who speak in actions. Prophets. That's what they are. They speak God's words. They live God's words. The prophets in the Old Testament did that. The prophets in the New Testament did that. We are called to do that. We are all called to speak God's words in word and in deed. Discernment, discernment of spirits, being able to look at and know and understand right and wrong, good and evil. There are people who have that ability. It's amazing to see and experience someone who can discern right and wrong, good and evil, especially in others. Especially in others. Tongues. Well, this is a hard one. This one is called more division in the church, especially over the last 110 years. Back in the beginning of the 20th century, the Pentecostal movement began again, as it had existed in times past, began again out in California on Azusa Street. And you had the development, I'm serious, you had the development of several denominations that resulted from that. One of which being our brothers and sisters next door at the Assemblies of God. Good Christians who have an experience of the power and presence and the gifts of God's life in their life. But they took the gift of tongues, speaking in other languages or other worldly languages, as being the important one, and indeed the only important one to have. Paul says later on in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, the most important one to have would be love. Here it's just one of many speaking in tongues. Now that's kind of a mystical one, but I've heard it. Scared the daylights out of me. You know, you hear it sometimes, you know somebody's faking it. And then you meet someone who you know is not. My dad was that kind of a man. They used the word charisma to form the word charismatic. You've heard charismatics before. Well, the charismatic movement in the United Methodist Church began in the 60s and grew in the 70s, and my dad was heavily involved in the charismatic movement over at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church. And he was given, he believed, I know it's true in healing, he was given the gift of healing, and he proclaimed the gift of tongues. And when I was a little child, I used to laugh because my dad would jabber on in these words that I wouldn't understand. One day, not long before Dad died, just a year or two before Dad died, he and I used to go fishing a couple of times a year up on the Mountain Fork River just outside of Smithville. We'd stay in a cabin up there and have a wonderful time together and go fishing, fly fishing mostly. And mostly it was me watching Dad fish because he was amazing. And we were fishing away, and it was one of the times that I was fly fishing from the front of the canoe. Dad was in the back paddling. And I had been singing, and Dad always liked to hear me sing. So I'd sing for a while, then I'd get a little hoarse, and so I'd quit and just be fishing. You know, sometimes it's hard to sing about the love of God when you got your line hooked up in the tree above you. In the middle of fishing, I heard Dad starting to pray in English. And then it segued into another language. Now, my dad was a mathematical genius. He was an electrical engineer. He had degrees in engineering and mathematics. My dad only spoke one language, and it was pidgin English. But I listened as my dad prayed in Hebrew, part of one of the Psalms. Now, I know Hebrew because I studied it in school. But I knew what he was saying for the first time. We pulled in to run the trot line, and as Dad was putting Brim on the line, I asked him, "Dad, where did you learn Psalm 91 in Hebrew?" And he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "You were praying, and you started praying, and you started the words of the 91st Psalm in English, and then you finished them in Hebrew. When did you learn that psalm in Hebrew?" He said, "Never. I was praying in tongues." Now, I can't explain that unless it's a gift of God. Tongues. It's divided the church so many times in the last 100 years, but it's meant to unite the church. It's one of those mysterious gifts that you can't explain. But it's there. It's there. And then, of course, there's interpretation of tongues. Some would say, "Well, Greg, you were given an interpretation." That's what my dad thought. He thought, and he sweared, and until the day that he died, I think he would have said, that actually he wasn't praying in Hebrew, he was praying in some heavenly tongue, and I was given the interpretation of it. I don't know about that. All I know is what I heard. And I heard him pray in a language he never, ever learned. And he did it very well, better than me. It was amazing to hear and experience. To hear God praying. Because that's what I believe this was. God praying through my dad. The gifts of God, the charisma, the charismatitos of God, the charisma of God, the grace of God, the gifts of God, they're given to the church, and we all have them. There's not a single one of us who does not have, in some place in their life, the gifts of God functioning. What gifts do you have that you know are functioning? What gifts do you have in your family, in your spouse, in your children, in your friends? I invite us in these days here and in the coming week to give thought to the gifts you have received, the charisma of God that you have received. And if you see one in this list that you really want, like for me, I really desire more faith. If you see one that you really want, and you really want more of, I encourage you when you come to the table of the Lord today, this table of charisma, this table of grace, this table of the gift, I invite you to come and to ask God for it as you receive the bread and the cup. To ask God for it and be nourished by the love and grace and peace and inner presence of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.